Praise the Lord. We are reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Now I should remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, and which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to someone untimely born, he appeared also to me. Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we had been reflecting on the mystery of the cross, and we have come to the last stage, that of resurrection. The death on the cross would have been a meaningless mystery if it was not followed by the resurrection. The death finds its meaning from what happens after the death. Jesus died on the cross, crying aloud and asking, my God, why have you forsaken me? Apparently, everything was lost. God did not come down to save him. He did not come down. Jesus did not come down to prove that he was the Son of God. He did not come down from the cross. He died. And apparently, everything ended with that. He was buried in a hurry, in a tomb that was borrowed, because he did not have anything. And the leaders, to make sure that he would remain dead, and nobody would steal his body and spread a rumor that he has risen, they sealed the tomb and put guards to watch the tomb. Rarely it happens that a dead body is being watched by soldiers day and night. Because they were afraid that what Jesus had said during his lifetime might come true. Because they said, this man has said that he would rise again. So the disciples might come and steal his body and spread the news that Jesus has risen from the dead. So to avoid this, they made sure that he will not come back. The disciples also thought everything was lost. The apostolic college was shattered. The 12 did not belong together anymore. They all fled. One of them betrayed, the another denied, and all went into hiding. So what did happen after this? How did this group of people who came from Galilee following Jesus with the great hopes of the kingdom, who were all dispersed and scattered, how did they come together? How did this movement, what we call the Joshua movement, the church, come into existence? Proclaiming that Jesus, whom they crucified, has been raised from the dead. Two events took place after the death. One is the resurrection. Jesus was buried in a hurry on that Good Friday before the Sabbath started. On Sunday early morning, the women disciples went to the tomb and found the tomb was empty. They did not know who had stolen the body. That's what they thought. Even though Jesus had already told them that he would rise again, they never believed that such a thing would happen, because it is something unheard of, that a person who died would come back again. In fact, Jesus had given an appointment. After the death, I will meet you on the third day. Nobody had ever done that. Jesus had done. The followers did not believe, or could not believe, or understand. But in fact, now, on that early Sunday morning, When they saw the tomb was empty, they did not know what happened. Then they had the appearance. Jesus appeared to them, to the women, to the disciples, one and the other, sometimes when they were all gathered together. So the appearances of the risen Jesus and the empty tomb together proved to them that the one who died on the cross is not dead and gone, he is alive. That Christ is alive. That all that what he had said has come true. Still, they were not courageous enough. Their faith was weak. They doubted. They had difficulty to accept the fact that this man whom they had followed and whom they had seen dying on the cross is now alive. It took another event to prove to them that it's the coming of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised that he would send a helper, an advocate, a paraclete to be with them, to enlighten them, to bring them to the fullness of truth, to help them, to guide them always. And that happened on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover. And when the Spirit came upon them, they were changed into totally new people. The disciples who were cowards, who were afraid, now they have the courage. And they have a conviction that the Jesus whom the leaders killed is now alive. He has risen. And this is the faith, the conviction that they were proclaiming. So the two events, the resurrection and the Pentecostal experience of the coming of the Holy Spirit, changed the situation. And now they can go out. They go out and proclaim aloud that Christ is risen. The first Christians, when they used to meet each other, they had a way of saluting, Christos Aneste. And the other person, if he is a Christian, he would respond, Aletos Aneste. Christos Aneste means Christ is risen. And the response, Aletos Aneste, means verily, truly, he is risen. So this is a kind of code that only the Christians would understand. It was a test if he is a Christian. A Christian is the one who believes in Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. So it is the resurrection that is the foundation of the Christian faith. Everything that Jesus said and did achieves its meaning from this event. That is resurrection. That's what Paul is telling. The proclamation, the Christian proclamation starts with this very fact that Jesus died and rose again. He was killed, he was put to death according to the scriptures, and he rose again according to the scriptures. As the apostles searched the scriptures in order to find out the meaning of the death, the passion and death of Jesus, so also they found meaning or they found interpretation from the scriptures about the rising of the Messiah, that he could not wither in the grave, that God would raise him up again. That's how they interpreted. But more than the interpretation of the scripture, it is the experience of the risen Lord with them that gave them the conviction, that gave them the strength and the impact and the impetus to go on to proclaim the good news. So if Christ is not risen, Paul would say, our faith is meaningless and our life is meaningless. So in the first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, we have read that Christ is risen and he appeared not only to one or the other, but to more than 500 people at a time, and finally to Paul at a much later stage, as if a person born out of time. And then he would go on to say, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ is not risen, there is no sense of meaning, of faith, there is no sense for life. The suffering has no meaning. life has no meaning. And he would go on further to say in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Christ, the resurrection, opens up new horizons of hope, new horizons of possibilities. So Christ is risen. And Christ is risen, that is the basis, the foundation of our faith. But it was difficult for people to understand. The disciples, when they saw Jesus for the first time after the resurrection, they could not believe. For example, Luke tells the story of the two disciples going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, discussing, disputing, and always sad. And Jesus accompanying him, and they could not recognize him. Something hid him from their vision. They could not understand. Their mind was closed, their eyes were closed. So Jesus had to explain to them. Jesus had to explain to them that all these things that happened to Jesus was according to the scriptures, and it was necessary that the Son of Man should suffer and die and rise again. Still, they could not understand. See, they realized that it was Jesus only when they invited him to stay with them, and then Jesus at table took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Two things happened. First, Jesus explained them everything, but they could not understand. But then it was getting dark, and Jesus was pretending as if he was going further, and when they have reached that village to which they were going. So first the disciples invited Jesus, come with us, it is getting dark, it is getting late. Mane nobiscum domine, that was an encyclical letter of the late Pope John Paul II. Mane nobiscum domine, Lord stay with us. That was the request of the disciples. Lord stay with us, it is evening, the day is nearly ended. Why did they ask this stranger to stay with them? Maybe because they were happy in the presence of that person. They did not realize it was Jesus. But more reason we have to think, because what they say, it is getting late and there is no village in the neighborhood they knew. So this stranger would be going into the dark with nowhere to stay at night. So they were inviting a stranger into their house. Stay with us. And when this stranger entered into their house, then he becomes the host. The guest becomes the host. He takes the bread, blesses and breaks it, and in giving them, their eyes open. So Jesus, the risen Lord, is recognized in the act of breaking the bread and giving to them, the Eucharistic celebration. That's where the breaking of the bread becomes important in our daily lives too. The risen Lord is present where he breaks and gives himself. And then their eyes were opened. And they realized that their soul was set on fire when Jesus was talking to them, interpreting, explaining the scriptures. Then they run back to Jerusalem to report the news, to proclaim the news of the resurrection. So when they realized that this was Jesus, they are happy. Their sadness has disappeared. They become new persons. They don't anymore feel sad or sorrowful. All frustrations are gone. A new horizon is opening up before them because Jesus is risen. Life has a meaning. The same thing happens with other persons also. When Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, she doesn't understand him first. Then only when Jesus calls her name, Mary, she understands that this is the Master. The same thing happens to the disciples. When Jesus appears in their midst, they do not know who he is. Something strange. How is it possible that the person, the Master who was with them for 3 years, with whom they had lived so in close relationship, day in, day out, after 3 years, when they see him after the resurrection, they did not recognize. Something has changed. Not only the physical appearance. I think what the evangelists are telling, something new has come upon him. The risen Jesus is a transformed Jesus, a glorified Jesus. And his body has been glorified too. So this Jesus can come into the room when the doors are closed and vanish just as he came in. As if they were, when they were doubting, he just showed him his hands and feet, the wounds. For example, Thomas, in the report of John, Thomas did not want to believe that Jesus appeared to the other 10 when he was not there. He insists, "I will not believe, I refuse to believe unless I see the wound in his hands and on his side. I refuse to believe." Not that he doesn't believe. He's asking for a sign. He's asking for a proof that this is the same person, Jesus, whom he knew, that this is the same person that is appearing now. And the sign he asked for is the wounds. The wounds in the hand, the wounds in the side. And Jesus shows the wounds. So the risen master carries the wounds he carried for our sins. He carries these wounds. So the risen Lord, the glorified Lord, is a wounded Lord. And touching, John doesn't say, Thomas touched. Jesus invited him, "Come and touch, put your hand in my side and believe." Thomas did not have to touch, but he burst out into a proclamation of faith, a confession of faith, "My Lord and my God." That's what Jesus is, the risen Lord, "My Lord and my God." That is the shortest possible proclamation or confession of faith. Jesus is Lord. So what is the meaning of this resurrection? The resurrection is the glorification. Resurrection is the entering of new life into this world. Letter to the Philippians, Paul explains this in a beautiful way in what is called the Christological hymn of Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." That is the meaning of resurrection. The one who emptied himself, came down, emptying himself of the glory of God and taking upon the form of a slave and becoming obedient unto death, the death of a criminal, death on a cross. So this self-emptying of Jesus is responded by the Father. Father who exalted him above everything and everybody. Therefore, God so highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So he is the Lord. That's a proclamation. Jesus is the Lord. He is the Lord who has conquered the powers of evil. He is the Lord who had conquered sin and death. He has celebrated the Passover, a new Passover, a new transit. It is the going of Jesus from this world to the Father. The one who came down from the Father, assumed flesh, became flesh. The Word that became flesh is now being transformed, taken up to the Father. So with the resurrection of Jesus, humanity has been raised up. The fallen nature has been raised from sinfulness to God's divine life. So he is exalted. That's what Jesus tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth hath been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Jesus says, "Every authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." That is the meaning of resurrection. That is the meaning of glorification. Jesus has been glorified, raised from the dead, raised to the right hand of the Father. In the other Gospels, Mark and Luke, it would say that he was seated at the right hand of the Father. In fact, John and Matthew do not report an ascension. What ascension means is this glorification. For Matthew, it is receiving the power, all authority. In John, it is the exaltation, to be raised, exalted. So the exalted Lord is now the all-powerful Lord. And he is with us. "I will be with you to the end of the age." So he has not gone away. The risen Lord is not gone away from this world. He is here with us, among us, in us, in every individual person. "I am with you. I am in you." As the power that motivates, as the strength that guides you, as the light that guides you. So Jesus, the exalted, risen Lord, is with us always. And in another way, letter to the Hebrews explains to us that he is the high priest. The high priest who has entered the Holy of Holies, the real presence of the Father, into the heaven itself. He offering himself, his body, as a sacrifice, entered the presence of God with the human nature. And there he intercedes for us. So the high priest, Jesus the high priest, who at the same time victim and priest, is interceding for the entire world in front of the Father. That is another way of interpreting the resurrection. He is seated at the right hand of God, having the power. He is interceding, standing before the Father. He is the priest, and he is with us, guiding us, enlightening us, always accompanying us. So this is the meaning of the resurrection, that God has reconciled humanity with himself. The rift that has taken place, that has split, that the division that has taken place between human and divine have been bridged. God, Jesus has reconciled humanity with God. Forgiveness of sin has been achieved. The paradise that was closed by the sin of humanity is now open. In the book of Genesis chapter 3, it is said, God sent the first parents out, Adam and Eve, out of the paradise, closed the door, and kept guard and a fiery sword. Nobody can come back to the paradise, the presence of God. Now, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, this paradise has been reopened. Access is possible to God. In fact, God has come down. God has come down into taking the form of human and becoming human, taking the nature, human nature upon himself. He has reconciled with himself. A new life is possible. And to continue this life, the risen Lord gives his Spirit, the Spirit of unity, the Spirit of enlightenment, the Spirit that guides us, the Holy Spirit who is always with us, who inspires, guides, teaches, strengthens, gives courage, hope. So this is resurrection. That's what we are celebrating today, the day of resurrection. And the proclamation, the confession of the first Christians, Christos Aneste. Christ is risen. Yes, he is verily, truly risen, we proclaim. So what does it mean for us to proclaim that Jesus is risen? It is, first of all, it gives us hope that our life will not end with death. Death has not the last word. Death is only a transition. Death is only a door that opens up into life. Life eternal, life with God. We are dying not to eternal nothingness, not into darkness, but we are dying into God, into the triune God, into the hands of the Father. As Jesus laid his life in the hands of the Father, everyone who believes in Jesus can say, I am dying into the hands of my Father, to rise again as Jesus did. So this gives us hope that we are not alone. Not in life, not in death, never are we alone. I am with you to the end of the age, Jesus said. And this is not a vain promise. This promise is true because he is alive. And that is what the Christians proclaim. That is what the church has been proclaiming from the first day of Easter to this day. And it will continue to proclaim to the end of the world, till the whole world is renewed, till the new heavens and new earth appear and everything will be transformed. The church will continue proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus, that he is with us, that he has reconciled us with God, that he has made us children of God. So this gives us hope. This gives us confidence in our trials and troubles and tribulations. All our work, all our suffering has meaning because it is being taken up. We are being transformed by the death and resurrection of Jesus. So the commitment to the kingdom of God is meaningful. And all the suffering we undergo for the kingdom of God is meaningful. Nothing is lost. And we will rise again with God. So in our sorrows, in our sadness, in our pains and suffering, the resurrection should shed its light. Because Jesus says, I have conquered death. I have conquered the world, and I am with you. As Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, as Jesus has received all authority in heaven and earth, he is telling us, I am with you. He never tells a lie. He doesn't cheat anybody. So he is with you, he is with me, and let us be thankful, and let us be happy, and sing hallelujah, the Lord is risen. Christos Aneste, Aletos Aneste, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.